it so good seeing you folks. I guess I could easily say that this church is very special to me. I spent 3.5 years here, and probably the most enjoyable years I had outside of maybe Tulsa. Tulsa is the one the Lord put me in, and I'm convinced of that as I've ever been. But it's good to see old folks again, friends that I've lost for so long. This is a very important service. I've never been involved in one where they ordained 3 people and a preacher and 2 deacons. So it's just interesting for me to see how it's done. So you fellows sort of have to guide one another, I guess, and we'll get through this and do it according to protocol, and so it'll be added into your minute books and be acceptable. I've been asked to preach the charge to the deacons, and be honest, I've never done this before, so if I sort of followed her along the way, sort of understand.
We won't know, brother, because we hadn't done it either.
I want you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. It's apparently that's where it all began as far as deacons are concerned. And Acts chapter 6 began with verse 1. It says, "In those days, when the number of the disciples multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called a multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer, to the ministry of the word." Father, we do address you in the most important time. We pray for the presence of your Spirit in this assembly and in the hearts of all those who are officiating, those that are to be ordained, that we might realize the importance of this service, and that it might be conducted in a way that your name might be honored and praised. Lord, we fall short so many times in the things that we do and the things we must do, and not giving the praise to you as it should be. We pray, Father, for your presence, and that your name might be considered above everything else and worshipped. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. It's an unusual situation in the first church, and it looks, according to scriptures, that several thousand members. Boy, wouldn't that be something? And they had done something that I don't think it's ever been copied since then, but they had sold everything they had, put it in church treasure, and everyone was provided for out of the treasure of the church, and each one provided for what they needed, and they were equal in that. And pretty good idea, but it never works with man, because there's always someone that wants more than their share. And of course, that happened in the church as well. In this particular case, the Greek-speaking Jews, Grecians, were complaining because their widows had been neglected. I don't see any problem with that, because with the thousands of members, I don't know, I guess the apostles up to that time were taking care of this, and out of 12 apostles, that would have been rather difficult to cover thousands of members. It was a task that they shouldn't have, because, brethren, in all honesty, God intended for His servants to study the book and to pray. There's something I found out years ago, that a man has a difficult time working on a public job and pastoring a church, because when someone says that a pastor don't work, they've never been a pastor. It is probably one of the most trying jobs I've ever had, and I've had a lot of different jobs, that each week you've got to seek God's leadership and deliver the word. And for an old country boy like me, that sometimes gets rather difficult. In this situation, the apostles, recognizing the need, we might say they sort of created a different office for the church. And they had the church to choose out seven men. Folks, the widows of a church are an important issue. Before I go any further, let me make this statement. Anytime a church has a widow, that's a widow indeed. The church is responsible to see that she has her necessities and cares of this life. Too often that's left up to the federal government, to welfare and all these kind of things. We can't pass on our responsibility to the government that God has given us. The church has that responsibility. And that's one of the responsibilities the deacons have, to make sure that the widows in the church, who are widows indeed, and of course you know that means that they don't have family able to take care of them, that they are taken care of. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3, it says, honor the widows that are widows indeed. Now, did you know that every one of your servants, the word deacon comes from a Greek word, which means to be a servant. We'll go into that in just a few minutes. But every church member, everyone that confesses Jesus Christ as their Savior, are servants of God. Would in our day and time that more church members recognize that what they owe God instead of putting so much emphasis on what they owe their families and this life. The word that's translated deacons in our Bible is used a little over 65 times in the New Testament, both in Greek and noun, and it's translated in several different ways. In Mark chapter 10, verse 43, it says, so shall it not be among you, but whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your minister. And the word minister there is the same word as deacon. And this one is to me is very important. In John chapter 2 and verse 5, you remember the wedding of Cana of Galilee, how that they had run out of wine for the celebration of the wedding. And the Lord's mother told the servants, these are household servants, to whatever Jesus asked or whatever Jesus said, do it. The word there for servants is the same as the word for deacon. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, this is one that sort of applies to preachers. You know, the Corinthian church is like a lot of churches today. They value preachers, and there's nothing wrong with that, folks. But the preacher is a messenger boy for God. You don't place too much value on a preacher. Over the years, I've had people to place too much value on me, and that scares me. In all honesty, I'm afraid of what God will do to me if I accept the value that belongs to God. And so, you know, I think it's important that we realize that. But Paul was speaking to the church at Corinth, and they had arguments as to who their favorite preacher was, the one that had saved them. You know, it's sort of like people today, you know, that brother so-and-so is the one that saved me. Well, no, brother so-and-so didn't save anybody. God does the saving. He's the only author and finisher of salvation. And so Paul, in order to correct this, said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, said, who is Paul and who is Apollos but ministers by which you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I like that added in there, don't you? The Lord gave it. Our salvation's in His precious hands. But that word minister there is the same word for deacon. So you see, the term deacon is a common term in the Bible. It's reference to being a servant. And I can't emphasize too much the fact that you're all servants. If you're members of Grace Bible Baptist Church, you are tremendously blessed. You're a member of one of the Lord's churches, and I'll assure you that when you stand before Christ at the Bema seat, you're going to be mighty glad you're a member of one of the Lord's churches. We've got churches all over this world that's filled with all kinds of various teachings. But the Lord said, I'll build my church. And he did. And we believe that Grace Bible Baptist Church is one of the Lord's churches. And you have been chosen by him to be a member of one of his churches. And it's a marvelous position to have. But a deacon is a special person. The apostle said that you choose this one out. He has to fulfill the obligations that are requested. To be full of the Spirit and wisdom, a good report. That's a big charge, isn't it? Of good report. Don't find many men like that today. Full of the Spirit. And I preached a message not too long ago on what it is to be filled with the Spirit. And folks, did you know that very few of us today have experienced such a wonderful feeling as being filled with the Spirit? Now, I've experienced that. I'm sure that I experienced it at least one time in my ministry. And that's to my shame that only one time. You see, the Scripture tells us to be filled with the Spirit, not to be filled with wine, where it's in excess. That is, don't get your filling from a bottle, but get it from the Spirit of God. How many of us rejoice in the Spirit? How many of us are brought to the point of being excited, being a child of God, being filled with the Spirit to the point that the Spirit leads us in our decisions, in our walk of life, and things of that nature? That's how we give glory to our God. And the deacon is supposed to be one who is led by the Spirit and one who has filled with wisdom. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, in giving the qualifications for a pastor, in verse 8 he says, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not given to or greedy of money. Just qualifications. The word grave means not to be filled with foolishness. Now, I don't believe it's talking about this joshing we do and the enjoying we have picking at one another and teasing one another. That's the way of life that's enjoyable. You know, you take the most depraved or depressed person in the world and get picking at them and teasing around with them, and you can pick them up, make them feel pretty good, as long as you know you're teasing. Don't get carried away so they think you really mean it. I had a member of the church one time told me that he had was picking at a young fellow that was handicapped in the church, and he just playing around with him, picking at him. He asked him, he said, do you think you ever amount to anything? Just out of the fun of it. Never meant a thing about it, but he took it wrong because he was handicapped. Went to the pastor, and he was really upset about it and wanted to bring charges against this man because the man was treating him bad. And of course, the man was telling me, he said, man, I wouldn't have done that for anything in the world. So you have to be careful. Even when you're joshing around with people, you have to realize that people are tender feelings sometimes, and they know you don't love. But anyhow, not grave, not an old sourpuss, old country boy would say, you know. Be happy in the Lord. My goodness, we got more to be happy in this world than the whole world combined. I always think it's amazing to me how, and I hope I don't get on anybody's toes, but you ever notice how people go to a ball game and their team is winning and making points or whatever, and they're jumping up and down and they're shouting and laughing and just having the biggest fun in the world, but you can't get them in church. Did you know where the greatest joy that we experience is? It's in the house of God. But we have to have the Spirit of God. And that's what makes us different. Not double-tongued, that is, not telling something to one person one way and another person another way. Gossip can be a terrible thing. And not be given to much wine. Now, in the Bible days, they drank wine for medical purposes. It's obvious that their food was not refrigerated or pasteurized or anything of that nature, and so a lot of food they ate was tamped, you know, had bacteria and things of that nature. And Paul told Timothy, a little wine for the stomach's sake. That's purpose. We don't need that today, folks. We have the most purified food in the whole world, and I've been in two places in this world, and I can assure you that's true. We don't need it, and I think basically God's people ought to be teetotalers. Just leave the alcohol alone. It can be nothing but trouble to you. Now, that's my own opinion. And not greedy of money. Boy, that's a hard one, isn't it? I guess to be known that we all like money a little bit, especially when we like to buy these nice things the world gives us. And I hope you give a tenth of it to the Lord first. But I'll tell you something, folks. I'm old enough to have experienced enough to know that serving God's the greatest thing in all the world. There's nothing like it. You just can't outgive God. And I've been through some pretty rough things. And you folks know me as well as I know myself and what I've been through. I've gone through some things that were difficult to go through. I've been depressed and lonely, and I know what it is. And I also know what it is to have God take care of it for you and to bless you tremendously. You see, folks, we're in this business not because we want to do something for ourselves or for the community or for our children. How many people today go to a certain church because they got something that their children like there instead of going to hear the truth of the Word of God in the Lord's church? Well, folks, the greatest joy in the world is walking with Jesus. You can't beat it. Holding the mystery of faith and a pure conscience. I take that statement to mean one who is truly faithful to the things of God. Not someone who pretends, not someone who goes to church on Sunday and forgets about the Lord the rest of the week, but someone who's willing to serve the Lord whatever the cost might be. I want to show you something in the Scriptures. There's a word used, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 13, says, "Well, they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Jesus Christ." That little word boldness there indicates expression or boldness in speech. And what it's saying is that if you use the office of a deacon in the proper manner, God will strengthen you to go forth for His cause. Look at Stephen. Look what happened in our text in Acts chapter 6. Stephen was one of the seven. He was just a deacon. He wasn't a preacher, just a deacon. But he sure turned out to be one fantastic of a preacher because he did exactly what the Scripture said. And God gave him the boldness to go out and address those Pharisees. He started at Abraham and went all the way through to Christ. And they got so mad at him they killed him. You see, folks, being a deacon is an obligation. It's also a blessing. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20, Paul said, "According to my earnest expectation, my hope, that in nothing I should be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ may be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." With all boldness, a deacon can be blessed of God in the same manner. I'm going to sort of close this down. You folks, you got others to listen to. I want to encourage you on something as deacons. And I've had some great deacons in churches I've pastored. I really have. I've had men that were deacons. I have ones that are deacon now that I can depend on to do what God intended for a deacon to do. I think a deacon's responsibility is to make sure his pastor's got everything he needs. Take care of his pastor. Now, I had a churchman one time get really mad at me over that. He thought I was trying to toot my own horn, I guess. I don't know what it's all about. But he said a deacon's not responsible to take care of a preacher. Well, if a pastor is an under-shepherd of the flock, and you got a deacon who's a servant of that flock, looks to me like the pastor who is a member of that flock should get a little care from a deacon, don't you reckon? I think so. But anyhow, Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, it says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Same word. I like to use that. Well done, thy good and faithful deacon. God bless you. If you hold that office and be a deacon, may God bless you.
Amen.